All you Disney heads, welcome to another thrilling episode of
Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah, where we ride the waves of nostalgia, revisiting some of our favorite Disney movies, TV shows, and all that good stuff. Mostly movies, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome into the podcast. I'm Jacob,
and I'm Casey,
and we are related.
It's true.
I'm the brother.
I'm the sister.
I sound very indignant about that. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm the brother, okay? So welcome in, everybody. You know, today is a very big day. It is technically the season finale.
Right.
Of Disney Channel Surfers, as well as it's almost this series finale. Mm-hmm. But we do have one more bonus episode for you guys while still under the Disney Channel Surfers title. And then, I know I keep telling you guys like a different name every time, but I think we finally picked the good one.
We want to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. This week we had you guys do the voting thing once again, which I really like.
I love it so much. It's so fun.
And, yeah, so we had you pick between the movies Mary Poppins Returns and, what was the other? Oh, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Bedknobs and Broomsticks, big favorite. But in the end, Mary Poppins Returns kind of won with, I think, one vote.
I was going to say, I think it was pretty close.
Real close. But ultimately, I liked that Mary Poppins Returns won because... Casey, this was your first watch of this one, right?
It was.
Yeah. So that's almost better because it's some fresh eyes, which is good. And I've already got conflicted feelings about the movie in general.
Same.
This is a good one to end on because there's a lot to talk about here. Because, all right, first and foremost, Mary Poppins Returns. I mean, this is the sequel to the beloved, you know, Mary Poppins, which was
right.
Disney classic. It was like one of the first movies to combine that animation with the live action stuff, which was really impressive. I mean, this was before, you know, Roger Rabbit came along and kind of, you know, frankly, perfected it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Original had Julie Andrews in it.
Julie Andrews.
Gem of the world.
Yeah, big time. Who, I mean, now, I mean, that name carries weight. That, I mean, she's legendary. And especially in Disney. I think at this point she's a Disney, I mean, she's for sure a Disney legend, but also a Disney legend.
She's a Disney queen.
Yeah. A queen, yeah. Multiple time queen.
Princess Diaries, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. One of the few, like... There's lots of princesses. How many of the... I think we went over this. How many of the princesses go on to be queens? Is it a lot of them? Because, or technically is... I mean, technically, is Snow White a queen, though? No.
Yeah.
No, because she's with the prince, so I guess...
Yeah, so...
Princess.
So, no. Huh, that's a good...
Even the Little Mermaid, like, Ariel... Eric isn't a king yet, I guess. He's just a prince.
Hmm.
Elsa?
Elsa.
Is that her name? Elsa is queen.
Okay. Yes, she is.
Now, even though she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, she's not queen. What am I talking about? That was the twist. She was queen for a little bit, though. Spoiler. Anywho, yes, Julie Andrews is queen. Instantly recognizable voice. We talked about the lament that she can't really sing anymore. Like, that is a huge, like, detriment to the world, that we will no longer get any new original music by Julie Andrews. And that's a big part of a drawback to this movie, but we'll get to that. So, Julie Andrews. Oh, and Dick Van Dyke was in the original.
And in this one.
And in this one. Yes, eventually. But the original, so yeah, let's talk a little bit about our feelings about the original.
Sure.
That was a, like, we watched that one pretty frequently. A lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
Whoa, why do I, I can hear myself.
I can hear myself.
Why is that?
Why is that?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Can you still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to check the quality?
The quality.
You want to do a playback real quick?
Sure. All right. Anyway, so feelings about the original. So I think a lot of us like grew up watching this, even though it's one of those movies where you remember the highlights, but there are some serious like lulls in the original movie.
Yes.
Like some slow parts and everything like that. Which this movie still has, but I felt like a little less so. You had your slow moments, like, and everything. But yeah, I remember basically loving the original, though.
Right. Yeah, I really liked the original as well. Obviously, like, those are the songs that you know. Spoonful of Sugar, like, we sang that one a lot in our house.
Very Super memorable song.
Expialidocious.
Catchy.
Yeah, very catchy, very memorable songs. As an adult, though, I find them a little annoying. I can't say that I've watched Mary Poppins as an adult, really.
The
but
one
I
song
do
that...
remember it, like, very fondly as a child. And I find her character really charming.
Right.
Like, I like the quirkiness. I really like her, the classic Mary Poppins, like, white dress with the really cool hat outfit that she wears, you know?
Well, and that was like the best part. That was the part you look forward to is, okay, when do they get to the cartoon part? Like, that's... like, that's
totally.
What... And honestly, like, that's a pretty small part of the movie.
It is.
The original, like, yeah. You don't really realize it, because then there's that whole second half, which you basically, like, yeah, are done, like, yeah. because once the bank stuff happens, there's that really slow song. You know, Feed the Birds is kind of the song that, yeah, like, all adults, I think, can relate to. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Overall, great movie. And then, but the dance sequences were impressive, like, Dick Van Dyke.
Very.
Like, that was... kind of what you really liked as well. It's got some impressive stuff going on. And I think even as a kid, you knew that accent was over the top as hell, but that was part of the fun. That's fine. And now, of course, we have that movie, Saving Mr. Banks, which sheds some new light on the Mary Poppins story.
Right.
Which I have different feelings, like... different feelings about that movie. It does suck, like, P.L. Travers, like, totally, like, kind of sort of sucks what happens to her, but I think she was also kind of, you know, she was a little frigid, you know, in her response to Disney as well, so it's kind of a interesting situation.
Yeah, for sure.
But she hated Dick Van Dyke. Because he's not pretty. I don't blame her. It's like, what the fuck are you doing casting this American asshole in this British role? What the hell's going on? And I've heard his accent. It's awful.
It's not good.
Yeah, but it's fun. So yeah, which brings us to Mary Poppins Returns. This is how many years after the original? So this has got to be like the biggest gap between, one of the biggest gaps between original to sequel.
Because I don't know what year the original came out, but this came out in 2018.
Yeah. Good amount of time. 60s, 70s.
Good amount.
So
yeah.
30 years or so.
Wow.
30, 50, whatever.
Math, it's hard.
Give or take a decade.
Yeah. No, totally. I really like Emily Blunt.
Ah, yes. See, I'm not super familiar with her. Yeah. I don't know if I know her from anything else. She was in The
Know
Devil
what
Wears Prada,
else.
I guess.
Oh yeah, that's a great movie. If you haven't watched it, it's on Amazon.
Nice.
Whoa, what just happened?
I don't know. Nothing on my end.
Weird, I just heard a really weird noise. Anyways, Devil Wears Prada is on Netflix or on Amazon, guys, and it's free to watch it on Prime. And if you haven't watched it, it's fan-fucking-tastic.
I need to watch that eventually.
Yeah, it's so good. It's got Meryl Streep and what's her face, Anne Hathaway in it.
No,
Oh,
a
excellent.
princess.
Excellent.
A princess.
Yeah, a princess.
Yeah.
Motherfucking princess.
Yeah, Emily
Let's
Blunt.
see.
Okay, so yeah,
Yeah,
let's
she's
address
been
the
in
elephant
other
in the room
things.
here. So Julie Andrews obviously couldn't come back for the sequel. I mean, I think we always held out hope for the longest time that there was gonna be a sequel or something, but then it
Right.
becomes like, you know what? Like, it's been way too long at this point. Sure, it would have been nice to see Julie Andrews back taking up the mantle and everything, but ultimately, like, if you look into it, like, she like didn't want to. Like, it was her decision. It was nothing like,
And honestly,
against her wishes at
I
all.
honestly think that this is one of those things that they actually could have just left alone. And I think that's how Julie Andrews felt too. She's like, I was Mary Poppins. It was perfect. Why would I like go back and potentially ruin something?
Right.
Because to me, sometimes like when they do these remakes or these sequels, especially if they have original cast coming in, it can kind of undo part of the magic that was done in the first place.
It's such a cash grab. Like, it's
I'm
so
talking about
obviously a
these new Star
cash.
Wars movies,
Yeah. And it's so obviously a cash grab sometimes. Like, and I think, like, a prestigious actress like Julie Andrews, like, she doesn't need to do that kind of stuff. And, like, I think, not that it's, not to judge anybody who does a sequel or anything like that, but these
Sure, it
reboots and
can be
everything.
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I see where she's coming from though. She's just like, no, it had its place and its time. And that is like kind of the thing about this one is like it does have like a weird pace to it, like the first one did. I mean, it
Well,
wasn't
here
terrible.
I'll. It's like, let's just blow this up. It's the same goddamn movie. It's the same movie, okay? Like, it's the
It's the
same.
same movie with way less good music.
So that's the like, okay. But here's the thing. Yeah, that is originally what I would say, where it's just like, it's the same movie, but yeah, the songs seem less memorable. I think here's the thing, give them time. Give them time. I think they will kind of start to solidify, because there's some bangers in there. Like, I have the album. I blast it on my video or radio now and then. Radio, whatever, CD player. Anyway, I don't know.
I liked a couple of the songs, but yeah, I didn't care for the whole bunch.
Well,
One
like.
thing I really did like, was the fact that I feel like this really looks like a play a lot of the times,
Yeah, that makes
in the
sense because the
way.
director did a lot of plays and stuff.
And I personally like very much enjoy that
I think he's
when
behind
I
the High
see
School
that.
Musical movies.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, I really enjoy that stylistic choice that some directors make. Like in certain TV shows I've mentioned before, a lot of the Gilmore Girls episodes really feel like plays, when they're set in one place, and the way that they have their acts and everything. Same with this. I liked that part about it, especially the opening part when they're all in the house. It really felt like a stage of a play, and I really, really liked that part.
Right. But yeah, I do dig some of these songs and everything. So I think give them some time, give it some time to solidify. I don't think it's gonna have the lasting power that the original one had, though. I think you
Yeah,
can't call
I
this
don't
one
think so.
superior in any way to the original.
No.
like
I did find it enjoyable though.
yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I think it like and that's where the conflict lies, because it's like, it's still good, but in the way that the original was good, though. So it's not like, it's not doing anything new. So it's not good in the way that it's like, oh yeah, they really kind of improved on, or like, yeah, it took, no, they, it feels like they set out to make the same movie, because they didn't want to, I think part of it was the pressure of like, yeah, you're doing Mary Poppins, yo, like, yeah, good luck.
Don't fuck like, it up, yeah. So, I think that that's probably true.
This is like, but it's close to what Force Awakens did, but it's even more in the realm of, it's like, no, you might as well have just like made the same movie, like, you know, been watching the same movie or whatever. It's on the border of like Force Awakens. Still, it felt like it still kind of did its own thing, even though at the end of the day, yeah, kind of beat for beat, it's basically the original Star Wars, but I'd watch Force Awakens before the original Star Wars. Sorry. Like, it's just more entertaining to me. Like, A New Hope is really boring. Think about it. Like, I think so, isn't it? It's the most boring one. I don't know.
Okay. It's my second favorite, but that's fine.
I don't think it's boring.
I really,
the fight
really
between
like...
Obi-Wan and Darth Vader? Snooze central.
I really, really liked Force Awakens, though. That is in the way of a remake, sequel, whatever. I think they did it nicely because, yeah, it was the same story, but they added enough and the special effects were impressive enough that, like, it did feel improvement in some ways, you know? Yeah. I loved Force Awakens. I know some people complained about that part
of
it.
Yeah, I know.
But...
No, and that's what they complain about. It's like, oh, it's the same movie. It's like, yeah, well, eh,
it's
whatever.
Still
like,
my favorite of the trilogy, the new trilogy.
For sure.
Yeah, because the other two are just not as good.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Yeah, for sure. And you got Emily Blunt taking on the Julie Andrews role, which you hear about it, and it was done very respectfully, like, she felt the pressure of it, like, and she talked to Julie Andrews personally, and she was like, no, like, it's yours now, like, type situation.
Oh,
like, yeah.
That's nice.
So, I like when actors do that, because, like, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And I tell you what, I think she did a fine job, like, really good job. Like, she didn't fuck it up. It's two different approaches to Mary Poppins, I think, but the core of it is still the same, where it's like, what are those core characteristics, would you say, about Mary Poppins? Practically perfect in every way.
Yes. And her prim and properness, her...
So unflappable.
Yes, her... Kind of like her quick-wittedness, like, I love that about both of the Mary Poppins.
Both of them
have, like, good one-liners that they throw in there, which I appreciate.
Yeah, let's
as
go with that.
Watching.
How are they both similar? Like, right, yeah. So it's that, yeah, that, the fashion sense is there. Like,
yes. I do think Emily Blunt did make the character her own in quirkiness, like, she added a different kind of quirkiness, which I appreciated.
What this one did was, I would love to have watched Mary Poppins and then Mary Poppins Returns to really, like, compare, but from what I remember, like, there weren't as many, like, they had some awesome, like, private moments with Emily Blunt's, like, Mary Poppins that I don't feel like Julie Andrews' Mary Poppins got.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were a lot more shot, like, yeah, single shots of Emily Blunt where we, the audience, kind of got to see her reacting to what's going on and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Julie Andrews didn't have that quite as much. Like, it was mostly right in front of us and stuff like that. But I really loved, those are some of my favorite moments of Mary Poppins Returns, is that we get those private moments where you kind of see Mary Poppins loves to gaslight kids.
She does, yeah.
How'd you do that? Do what? Oh my god, I'm going insane. But no, we get to see Emily. I feel like Emily Blunt's Mary Poppins was a little more in on the... She enjoyed the fun a little more than Julie Andrews' Mary Poppins does.
Yes, I agree.
Like, she had... Like, you could see her, like, enjoying it and, like... being aware of the magic going on. Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins, just kind of went along with it, and then when the kids brought it up, she's like, no, you're crazy, shut up. Like, go to sleep.
Yeah, I think that, one of my favorite parts in this one was when they, like, take the bath and they're like, well, don't you, or get in, go after him. And she's like, no, thank you. I already had a bath today.
Yeah.
Like, those little things that she does and says, I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Right. Yeah. And I, Julie Andrews was a little more unflappable, a little more scary almost. Like, like, Emily, Mary Poppins' character is interesting for kids in general because it's not a very positive figure. Like, she's kind of, like, pretty snippy with the kids and stuff like that. Like, you're wanting her approval at all times. And I even feel that now where it's just like, oh, man, I would love to be on Mary Poppins' good side because that seems like a hard place to be.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not your typical, you always think of Mary Poppins as, oh, what a whimsical story. It's like, yeah, but she's not very whimsical herself. Like, whimsical stuff, like, she makes whimsical stuff happen and stuff, but she is very much, like, she's Indiana Jones. Like, she's not gonna get, she isn't in too much in the nonsense, like.
Right. That's true.
She ain't gonna get hurt or anything like that. It's like, yeah. So, yeah. So, overall, you thought she did a good job, though?
Yeah, I really like her as an actress, too. I've seen her in other things as well. And I think that she did a really good job. I remember when I heard that she was going to play Mary Poppins, I was like, oh,
well, yeah.
You know, like everybody.
Right.
But I really like her. I think she did good.
Right. And they even, like, she didn't wear this exact same costume as Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins, at all, even. Like, so there wasn't even that going for it. Like, they were kind of, it rides this weird line where it's like, okay, like, they are, like, this is a sequel. This is a straight-up sequel to the original. But they also feel like they're doing their own thing. It's interesting.
It is. It's really weird, too, because it's like, yeah, like you said earlier, same story. Sequel, though. I don't know. Kind of weird. But that is how they used to do sequels back in the day,
and exactly,
you know?
Like, I can't hit on it too much, because that's ultimately, like, that was the approach to sequels. It's like, okay, we're going to do the same thing, basically, but a little bit better. Like,
right.
Mummy versus Mummy Returns. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones. All of those are pretty much the same, just different landscape.
And I know we've talked about this before. It's like, I'm finding that there's more people in our corner, but Temple of Doom is very divisive, but I gotta say, it's my favorite. Yeah, yeah.
My favorite, 110%, yep. And anybody that says it's not, they're wrong.
It's like, yeah, for sure. And, like, their reasons are valid, like, but ultimately I'm just like, no, you know, like, no, it's pretty damn fun. Like,
it's definitely the most fun Indiana Jones that
most
there is.
Most fun and, like, and for the darkest, like, again, like, you know, we're
it
millennials. Like, it had to have the darkness. Like, they wanted to traumatize us. I don't know. Like, it's like a goal.
Yeah, I was deathly afraid of, like, going into, like, tomb cave things when I was younger.
Fuck
even
no.
though
yeah,
obviously
bugs,
I didn't
no,
find myself in that
you.
Situation, but.
Right. Yeah. All right, so Mary Poppins Returns, like, I mean, so here's the thing, guys, like, it's beat for beat the same movie, basically. Like, it opens.
Yeah, so let's just talk about, like,
it opens with Lin-Manuel Miranda
Hamilton.
as our jack of all trades, you know. I like that he's not Bert, thank God. Like, for a while there I thought he was Bert. And
that would have been horrible.
Yeah, that would have pissed me off where it's like, hold on. So he's singing away, like, and we instantly get our first song, Underneath the Lovely London Sky, which is a pretty great opener.
Yeah, it's a cute song.
And, he's, like, doing the lanterns, like, we're in the time of gas power now, so it is, time has passed since the original Mary Poppins.
Yeah. He's also obviously putting on a British accent.
Yes. Which he said that, like, he purposely wanted to do the Dick Van Dyke thing where it's like, it's kind of not perfect, but hey, I tell you what, it's better than Dick Van Dyke.
I agree.
Like, it's more, I mean, well, it's more accurate to me, like, to my ears.
Yeah, it sounds better to me as well.
But he's going about his business, and then we get the signature title. So this doesn't happen very often, where you get the titles actually giving you every cast member and everything.
Yeah.
Against, like, similar to the painting style of the original, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our overture. And then we're in the Banks house. But it's a different situation, because the Banks children that we know are grown up now. And there's these, and now we've got three kids to deal with, but they're only, but they are, Jane and Michael, right? Michael.
Yes, Michael.
They're
the dad.
Michael's kids. There's three of them, and they're pretty adorable. You know, a little difference between them and the original Banks children is these kids seem to have their shit together a little better, like they're...
These poor kids, like, you can tell that they are, like, running the house, yeah, kind of.
Right.
They definitely have their shit together, but in a way that, you know, children should not.
Right. The nanny's, like, freaking out. The water pipes are exploding. It's a very hectic morning, and these kids are like, okay, I'm calling the plumbers. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Yeah, I've got the plumber on the line. You get the door.
Yep.
There's lawyers at the door trying to repossess the house.
Yeah, gotta have that relevant.
Yeah.
And this apparently, I forgot that it opens with it saying that this takes place during the Great Slump, which I'm pretty sure is probably on par with, like, the Great Depression in America.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet. So, right, you got these bankers coming in, like, Michael is 3 months late on his payments. Yikes. Can't let that go.
And the thing is, too, is he's just like, I have the money, like, let me write you a check, and they won't even let him write them a check. They're just like, no, you have to give us the full amount
now.
Nope,
too late for that, sorry. Nope, fuck you.
It's kind of bizarre, because it's like, if he has the money to pay the 3 months, just
freaking
let him pay the 3 months. But we kind of see that there's, like, an ulterior motive here.
Well, right, and, like, it is in their contract, and, like, you know, like... businesses would do that shit where it's just like, oh yeah, that's nice, but well, our contract
let me
says...
tell you though, a typical bank would much rather just, like, take the money
business.
You know, than to have to go through all the paperwork that you have to go through to take a home.
Right,
it's a lot of work.
Right, take that home.
no don't take it
from the people. They don't deserve it. If they're late on their payments, they're trash. No, I'm just kidding. I obviously side with the little guy. Come on.
Same.
Right.
The Admirable fires a cannon every hour.
Yes, but he's late these days.
But he's late.
5 minutes late. But yeah, I think he's been preparing for something. or somebody, some forces have been at work. So yeah, that happens, and that was great. Like, they have that moment of, like, catching stuff and putting it back. Like, that was a fun moment, actually, in the original movie. Like, it had an underlying tension that ran throughout, which is like, oh god, when's the fucking cannon gonna go off?
Yeah.
Are they gonna catch the lantern in time? Okay. And we have one good banker, one bad banker, good cop, bad cop situation. That's
yes.
Fun. Michael, this poor guy, like, what the hell? What a guy. What a fellow. What a situation. And I like that Jane, like, he has that close relationship with Jane, his sister.
Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, too. It portrays, like, closeness in brother and sister relationships, which exists.
Played
like you and I.
Right. Michael Banks is played by Ben Whishaw? Whishaw? Something like that. He plays Q in the new James Bond movies.
Mm.
And then Jane is played by Emily Mortimer. I really loved her in The Newsroom, which is a great series.
Sorkin, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
First season alone, like, that's, yeah, prime television. And she's, like, consoling him and everything like that. So they find out if they can find the paperwork saying that they have, like, shares in the bank or whatever. Like, that'll smooth things over and they'll be able to keep the house. They have, like, 5 days, or they have until Friday or something like that. So they go to work looking for this specific piece of paper. Gotta love the looking for the deed plot line, like a good old fashioned plot line. Easy. So they're looking around, and oh god, we get a really sad song. See, so it's good strong opening, and then it immediately lulls, like, for me, where it's just like, okay, at this point I would go get a snack or something. Sorry, like, it's like...
No, I agree.
It's emotionally, like, compelling and everything like that, but it's like, it's barely a song, too. Like, he's basically speaking it. Very sad. His wife has passed away, so he's been raising the kids, along with Jane's help, a lot of the way it seems. He still has the maid, one of them from the original. I don't think, it definitely wasn't one of the actresses from the original, but, yeah. So there's that. The kids need to go get groceries, so they're going to cut through the park. They run into a guy who gives them shit for walking on the grass. Great running gag here. the whole keep off the grass bit.
Yeah, keep off that grass.
Yeah. Wind starts.
They have to chase after George.
Yep.
Georgie, who is chasing his kite.
Yeah. Oh, and is it the same kite from the original? Is it? Wait. Is it a different kite? I can't remember.
I think it's supposed to be the same kite.
Yeah. Right. It's the green one.
Yes.
Jack shows up because the wind is starting to pick up, and everybody knows when the wind does a certain thing, like that's when Mary Poppins shows up. There's some understanding with that.
It's weird.
Yeah. But he knows something's afoot, so he's pedaling away. Right, the kite starts to pull Georgie, and then all three of the kids are pulling on the kite, and finally we get the signature shot of Mary Poppins coming in. Apparently this was a really complicated shot and, like, difficult stunt that Emily Blunt actually did, though.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I bet it would be really hard to get to figure out the logistics of that.
Yeah.
She did great, though. They reel her in on the kite. It's very cute.
Yeah. And Jack is like, holy shit. I've been live and breathe. Emily, and I love it, she, like, comes right in and she asserts herself as Mary Poppins, and she is, like, yeah, it's different but the same, like, I don't know, like, it's definitely, like, she did a great job, like.
She did so good.
Keep saying that. And, gets back to the house, the Banks kid, the original Banks kids totally recognize her, we even get a flourish of, like, her original theme song, or theme music, or whatever. Which was great. We get a cute little moment where she relays some of the original dialogue.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And there's a lot of...
So Michael and Jane.
They slip in so many of these moments, like, from the original. Like, her, like, talking in the mirror, and her mirror image does something different from her.
Yes.
The cane, or not cane, the umbrella.
Umbrella.
Yep. The talking umbrella head. It's just so weird that, like, she does these magical things, but she never acknowledges it. Like, it's such a British approach to a magical character.
It is interesting, isn't it? Like, there's one point where she's talking to the umbrella and he's talking back to her, and I think that's, like, the only time that she acknowledges. But she doesn't act like it's something unusual, and she doesn't act like it's strange, you know?
Right. She doesn't like people, like, anytime somebody tries to make a big deal about it is when she's like, it's like, nope, shut it down, nope, not
yeah, she's nothing like, that's absurd.
Yeah, what are you doing? Who are you? What? Michael. Yeah. So, there's that. She decides to be the nanny for the kids, for the new Banks children and everything like that. Alright. And then we get our first, like, big magical moment. When they go to take a bath.
Ugh, I love this so much. It's so fun. Oh my god, how much fun would it be to take a bath like this?
See, yeah, this is very appealing to the kid imagination for sure. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, even now when I go to take a bath, like...
I guess they do.
What?
I was like, do kids take baths these days? I guess they do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Baths are forever.
Baths are forever. Our bathtub is currently out of order, and I'm very sad. Because I love taking baths. Right. And I totally, like, will bring a really good, like, fantasy book into the bathtub with me. And so watching them do this, I was like, oh, I still sort of do this. Mm. I mean, I don't do this because my bathtub is not big enough. But I still hop into, like, an imagination land when I take a bath as well.
Right.
By bringing a book in with me, you know?
Yeah. I used to make waves, like.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Row back and forth, like, make waves and shit, like, yeah, get a good tide pool going on. Yeah, this is fun, this is a good sequence, like, it shows, like, oh, here we go, like, really impressive stuff. Like, we have the technology now, though, where it's like, it just, you know, you question your eyes all the time now, where it's just like, oh, that's cool, but how much of it was the actors, how much was the actors actually there, like, doing stuff and stuff like that. Makes me worry. Like, I like to think that actors are still having fun doing these sequences, but it feels like it's less fun these days just because, oh, well, we'll just animate you. We'll just animate you real quick. Like, how satisfying is it really to be Spider-Man?
I hope it's really satisfying to be Spider-Man. It's pretty fun
and all that, but, like, are you swinging through those buildings? Nah. Nuh-uh. Are you, like, yeah, are you webbing people a whole lot? Probably not a lot. Like, yeah, it's, yeah, you know.
I know. Somebody posted how, like, in one of the Avengers movies, Scarlett Johansson was the only one that they didn't need to CGI. So she's just, like, running and acting her ass off because there's nobody actually around her. And she's running by herself.
Yeah.
Us as the moviegoers, like, we don't realize that. I didn't even think about that at all. Well, obviously, while I was watching it, but later I was like, oh, that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, you know? It's like Iron Man. Like, how, like, you know, we like to think it's like, oh, cool, that's a badass suit. Look at how good they did building that suit. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
One thing I will say, though, is, like, that's just another reason to, like, love Deadpool, you know? Mm. Like, he gets to do a lot of the stuff.
Right.
That exists in there, and he gets to wear the cool costume, and
right.
So it's fun to be Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, but like you think, like Robert Downey Jr. Like ultimately, like most of his shit's really fucking easy. Like he's fucking because he's in a full body suit, so he just he's just.
You think his job is easy? Yeah. What about the Hulk?
Yeah, for sure. We'll see. And then they get away with it by having them do the motion capture shit, which. At some point, certain points when I hear that, it's like, you know, I feel like you're just trying to get away with, like, saying, it's like, no, like, those are, like, his motions and everything. It's like, how necessary is that, really? Like, you guys could adjust, like, you guys are good enough now where it's like, you're just, like, animating at this point, like, you know.
One of my favorite clips in the entire world, though, is Benedict Cumberbatch when he was doing the voice for Smaug, and he's, like, on the ground. Yeah.
Well, that's Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, there's no question. He's one of the greatest actors. Like, he ain't gonna half-ass it.
He's so good.
See, and those Lord of the Rings movies are another example where it's just, like, you know, even Sir Ian McKellen broke down crying because it's like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm a Shakespearean goddamn actor. I'm in front of a green screen sitting on a green thing next to, I don't have an actor. I don't have an actor to act off of. Who are you even? Aww. Who are you? Yeah, you know,
that's sad.
It is like, but you know, in the end, like we get our movies though, so we win, right? Exactly.
These little kids are so grown up. At one point, the little boy that I can't remember his name right now.
Georgie.
Not Georgie, the other one.
Because everybody knows Georgie. Of course, I don't know those other two kids' names.
No, because their names are never said, but Georgie's is said like a thousand times. All the time.
Georgie.
So older brother number one, I think they call them
New Jane,
twins.
New Michael, okay? Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
New Jane, New Michael, says, and Georgie. Like,
he says, if it makes no sense, it can't be true. And I was like, oh, you are an adult. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Because little kids' lives are supposed to be about things not making sense and still being true, you know?
So this is where the two movies kind of diverge, where the original movie was getting the kids to be a little more adult, and the adult to be more of a kid. The kids need to be more, they need to be fucking kids. And I like that message. I feel like that is definitely the message that we need in this time. Yes. Like, it's, yeah, it's more truthful, more relevant.
It totally is. Yeah. I agree. That is the message. And still the message of this one too, with the adults, with Michael and Jane, is like, you know, let the imagination in, let the children be children, let go yourself a little bit, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. And we see Michael, like, I like that he goes through an evolution of, he doesn't start out like the way the original George Banks did, who, mm-hmm. you know, that character always, like, bugged me as, it's like, he's so mean. Like, you know, I always felt that way as a kid. Like, I was like, what a mean dad, like, you know? This one, like, he's a little more accessible. He's just, it's just a more sad character.
He's stressed.
Yeah, and then he evolves into the George Banks, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a really good arc. Yeah. He had a very good character arc. Started out as kind of a mess, scatterbrain, went to this, like, kind of dark, stressed place.
Yeah.
And then back down again, you know, at first, though, even with, like, him not being mean, just, like, being distracted, I would say, he still was putting so much responsibility on the children, like, sending them to the grocery store without enough money. Which is really sad. These children, like, in today's standards, would never be allowed to just, like, go off by themselves. They're too little. I think
But in British, like we've talked about it, child labor laws, they love their child labor over there. Woohoo!
Oh my God.
Just kidding. No. That's how it used to be. I'm just saying. Like, we all know back in the day it was pretty bad.
For sure.
So it's not too far off. It's like, you know what? While you're at it,
go do this, and this.
Just shine some shoes while you're at it. And, like, you know.
Anyways, so, the kids are very cute. The bath is really fun. Our first peek into the mean banker, played by Colin Firth.
Pretty great actor.
He did a great job.
Yep, he's always
good. I really love him.
Dude, ever since Kingsman, holy shit, new respect for that dude. You've seen Kingsman, right?
I saw it with you in the theater, hell yeah.
Okay, like, and especially come to find out he did most of his stunts, like, that's pretty badass.
He's so awesome. I first fell in love with him in one of the many rom-coms he was in, because he's Bridget been in Jones. A lot of rom-coms.
Bridget Jones.
Yeah. Fuck yes. Yeah. And then I found love for him again in Mamma Mia.
Ah. He's a great actor.
Anytime I see his name in something, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. And got a great voice. Like, he was great in The King's Speech. Like, he's just an all-around good actor, but...
I tell you what,
Kingsman, though, brought back the respect. It's like, he was like, no, I can still come to play.
Yeah, Kingsman was so fucking awesome. Oh my God. That movie was like,
it's pretty damn
groundbreaking.
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. I have no desire to see the sequel, unfortunately. Oh, I do want to see Kingsman, though. I do want to see that.
The sequel was great. But that's fine.
It's, I don't care about Americans and cowboy hats and shit. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. There were a couple parts that I was just like, oh. And I will say it's almost the same movie again. Sure. So it's that same.
Which is fine, though, again, like, because
it was fine. It was good.
Yeah, right.
It was fun.
Right.
And I like spy movies, and I really like comedy movies, and the Kingsman movies do both very nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Without being too cheesy.
Yeah.
Where, like, a lot of movies that try to find that balance end up being either cheesy or not funny. Right. But these movies are so good.
Yeah. And so Kingsman, I really want to see, because that's a prequel, technically, so that's even better.
Like, ooh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah. And it's the same director. Like, I love that director is the key.
That director is awesome, yeah.
He's really great, because he also did Kick-Ass, which was a great movie.
Hell yeah. Kick-Ass was awesome.
X-Men First Class, great movie. Yeah. He's good. Good director. Okay, so yeah, you got Colin Firth as the bad guy, like, okay, but very much the mustache twirling kind of villain where it's just like,
yes, he's very one side, like, we don't really see, he's one dimensional. We don't really see this whole situation any, like, is, huh?
This whole situation is very malicious. Like, at a certain point, I was just like, would a bank really go to these lengths to, yeah, no. Right, you were kind of saying, where it's like, would you go to these lengths to, like, it had to be personal at that point. Like, that's what I was waiting for. It's like, okay, if it was personal, maybe that's something.
It was really weird. He was, like, to the point where he was just like, no, we have to get that house. Like, I want that house. But like, we don't ever, like...
Why?
Yeah, we don't ever learn the why. Definitely in real life, like, a bank would be like, oh, I'll just take what you do, and we'll call it.
I feel like you would be understanding at that point, especially if it's like, or even if it's like, oh, 3 months later, it's like, oh, shit, you know what? And you know what? I don't have it right now. Yeah, you know what? But give me, like, 2 weeks or something like that, and I'll have it or something. It's like, I feel like a bank would somehow be understanding.
Sure.
Like, they work with you. Like, you know, media does love to portray them that way sometimes, but yeah.
Don't get me wrong, banks are assholes. Yeah, sure. That's true.
For sure.
It's a soul-sucking community.
Like, they don't want you to leave. Like, yeah, try leaving a bank.
Oh my god, yeah, it's a nightmare.
Holy crap. Like, it's almost like a tradition, though. I feel like it's to be expected at that point, which is like, yeah, I'd like to close my account. Oh, yeah, you know what? No manager here, sorry. Like, he just went on break.
Can't do it.
Interesting. Just went on, okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so yeah, so we get their game. Like, you know, he's gaslighting them as well, where, I mean, Michael and Jane come to them, like, saying, like, hey, you know, like, here's the situation. It's like, oh, you know, we'll look in the records. Oh, it's not here, but hey, don't worry, I'll be here in my office till midnight. You got until then, like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they leave, he tosses the paper that they needed right away. Like, I actually believed him in that. They don't have it. Oh, okay, that sucks. Like, you know, but no, he's like, he straight up, like, it was there, and he told him it wasn't.
Yeah, he put it in the fucking fire. What a psycho.
Yeah. This is before the kids bust. Okay, so next we get our next great magical sequence. It's on the bowl. Which,
yes.
The kids are trying to take it upon themselves to, like, find ways to get money, right?
Again, they're just trying to be so grown up. Like, yeah. These poor little kids.
So they think they can get some serious cash for this bowl. Because their mom said it was priceless. Georgie, though, they're, like, fighting over it, and in the scuffle, it kind of gets a little crack on it. Jack shows up for some reason or other, right?
Yes.
And Mary Poppins is there, and they decide to go in the bowl. The little drawings on the bowl, like, start to talk to them and stuff. So they jump into the bowl, and now we're in animation land. Here we go, the moment we've been waiting for. The moment went, and awesome costumes.
Very fun.
Across the board. Kids look adorable. I love those jackets with the stripes.
So cute.
But not horizontal stripes, the vertical stripes.
Yeah.
Very cute. That was very reminiscent of Bert's original costume.
Totes.
But, yeah. They run into a dog, an Irish dog, who's part poodle. And a horse, Seamus, and... I forget the horse's name, but yep. They decide to help them with the wheel. They go on a little trip. We get an awesome... This is one of my favorite songs. Like, basically all the songs here are my favorites. Because, you get the Royal Daltons. Music Hall! I love how she...
Yeah, that's good.
She sings it. She's a really good singer, Emily Blunt, also.
She's a beautiful vocalist.
I don't think we knew that up until this point. So it was great to see. Lin-Manuel, of course, is great.
He's fantastic.
So they get to the music hall. We get an awesome assortment of characters and stuff. And Jack gets Mary Poppins up on the stage, who she resists at first, but she just can't help herself.
Yeah, that was cute.
And this features one of my favorite costume changes, is when she gets that kind of jazzy brunette bowl cut type situation going. Well, not really a
yeah,
bowl cut.
It's
I don't
so
know
fun.
What you call it. But it's got that
a
jazz
bob.
Look. A bob, yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
And just it's got that top hat type of, or it was kind of a bowler hat, and she's got a cane and a dress, and it's just badass. And they do some awesome musical numbers. Like, this one is my favorite song of the whole movie. Cover's Not the Book. Makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It's about books. Like, come on. And it was, frankly, pretty adult in its themes, though. Like, that was what surprised me. Is like, holy crap, they're talking about, like, naked women and sex and drugs and rock and roll. No. pretty crazy. And then we get Lin-Manuel Miranda rapping. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
You can call it what you want. It's like, oh, well, it's actually called it. It's like, yeah, whatever. No, he's rapping.
He's rapping.
He's fucking
it's
rapping.
Fine.
You know, wouldn't have it any other way.
Genuinely, though, this made me want to watch Hamilton so bad.
No, you got to wait till 4th of July.
And I mean, I will watch it on 4th of July, but I might watch
no,
it before
I'm not,
then,
actually,
too.
No, the new tradition is you watch Hamilton Juneteenth.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then you watch Mel Gibson's The Patriot on July 4th.
No, I'm good.
No, it's actually a good movie. Like,
I've heard.
Yeah. Like, you know, again, like, trust me, no, Mel Gibson, dirt human being, but good director, and he had his moment, like, you know, in the 90s, 80s, 90s, movie star.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can't dispute it.
He did.
But trash human being, it's fine. Oh. Okay. Go on.
Yeah, so then we get our kind of scary scene. Poor George is just always the one getting into trouble.
Yeah, it's fun getting into trouble. No, he's a little brat. He deserves it. They're going to take his giraffe, and I wanted them to, like, rip it right in front of him.
My God.
No, he gets kidnapped, so that's bad enough.
yeah.
And new Jane and Michael, like, come along to save him. and, yep, a really intense chase scene. I do love the moment where the horse shows up, and he's like, let's get your brother back. You know. really cool stuff. They pull off a pretty amazing rescue. They do fall off the bowl, and Mary Poppins is there to gaslight them once again, where it's like, it's okay, you're dreaming, it's all right, no, don't
yeah,
worry
it
about
just
it
a nightmare.
Nope, your giraffe's
like,
right here, shut the fuck up. And she has her again another lull song, a kind of a slower song.
Oh, see, this is like my
but
favorite
relevant.
Song in the whole
yeah
in the whole movie. I love it.
This is the Feed the Birds.
Find it in the place where
lost things go. Yeah.
I think it's so beautiful.
Offer some good advice and shit.
Yes, I love it so much. It's about grief.
We're going to get a lot of movies about that. WandaVision was about that. I feel like people forget how to do grief these days.
I constantly struggle with it. I have zero idea of how to handle it when it happens in my life. I totally just have like a crisis when things or people die. So I always resonate in the movies and TV shows when they like hit on that topic, and it always hits me harder.
Because ultimately there's no real solution. Like, no movie ever has a solution. Like, they ultimately are always the same. It's like, oh, I hear you. Like, that's the win in those situations. Like, some character, like, hears somebody's grief and, like, acknowledges it at least. Like, because
yeah.
It feels like, for the most part, nobody wants to acknowledge anybody else's grief anyway. So it's like, that is a win in and of itself. It's like, oh my God, you see me? Okay, thank God.
Right.
Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah, because there's never a solution. There's nothing that just takes that away.
Yeah.
Which I think is why
you do a Marvel movie.
Which is why people struggle with it in the first place. But, you know, if you're not a religious person, like, death means different things, you know?
Right.
I want to rap, but I can't.
So I think they end up going to the banquet. Or no, okay. So it's the next day. We get a nice little scene between Jack and Jane. They're kind of flirting with each
Flirting.
other, which is fine. Cute, cute
And it's
couple.
totally Mary Poppins kind of like putting her nose in it too. Like, make sure you give him one
Matchmaking.
of those flyers.
Yep. Right. He's getting on his bike. He drapes a ladder across the seat, and totally physics take on their own meaning when you're in the vicinity of Mary Poppins. She's like, "Oh no,
That's true.
we can have three of you kids on one side and me on this side, and yeah, we're totally good." I love the moments of it's like, "How much do you weigh, Mary Poppins?" And she's like offended as hell. Like it's like you
I
wouldn't.
loved that.
Yeah.
Somebody asked her in the beginning how old she was, and
It's
she
like,
did the same
really?
face.
Like, yeah, exactly. I love those
I
moments.
love it so much.
It's like, I beg
She
your
also
pardon.
has a really good one-liner here. She says, "Oh, sit up straight. You're not flower bags."
Yes.
And I was like, "That's great. That's so good."
And
I
Jack is
love that.
off. They're taking a trip to mend the bowl. That's what it is. Paying a
Yes.
visit to Mary Poppins' cousin. It's always weird to me when they have to throw in like relatives. Like it's such the go-to. It's like, oh yeah, this is my cousin, brother, nephew.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's fun. It expands the universe a little bit. Mary Poppins has a
Yes,
cousin
and
who is
it
played.
gives us a reason to see Meryl
Yep, there
Streep.
we go. And you know what? This is a divisive performance. Like, apparently, a lot of people are annoyed by it. I get a kick out of it. Sorry. Like, you know
I
what?
personally found it to be really fun.
Yeah. I thought
I'm
Meryl
like a Meryl
Streep was having
Streep.
the time of her life.
Yeah, I'm like a Meryl Streep lover. I mean, I feel like how can you not love her? She's such a great actress. That like anything she does at this point, if I can see that she's having fun with it, I'm also having fun with it.
And the thing is, like, I've never seen Meryl Streep like not have fun though. Like, she's that
That is
level of
the thing,
actor
isn't
though.
it?
Like, she's just that level of actor though, where it's just like, nope, I'm gonna, nope, this is my job, this is what I do. So, even is this a great Meryl Streep performance? I mean, no, like, whatever,
Oh.
like, but it was fun as hell. Like, I felt
Fun
like,
as hell.
yeah, like Meryl Streep doesn't do bad, like.
Right.
She has bad parts and like is in bad movies and stuff like that,
Sure.
But no, I thought this was fun as hell. She plays the cousin named Topsy. Ultimately, she's ultimately Topsy Turvy, let's face it.
Yes.
She runs this shop. Like, this is totally like, again, back at the old movie, like you had that guy on the ceiling played by the Mad Hatter guy.
Yes.
So this was a way of doing that, where she runs a store where she fixes things, but on the second Wednesdays of every month, everything is turning turtle. That means everything turns on its like a turtle on its back, which makes sense in a weird, whimsical sort of way.
I thought that was so fun. Who doesn't like want to go into an upside down room at some point and
Fuck
walk
yeah.
on the ceiling and have everything else be mounted to the floor,
God,
which
do you
is now the
remember
ceiling?
at Disneyland the Goofy's Jump Room?
Hell yeah.
Dude, okay, they probably have retired it since then because those things are not safe. Like, especially like you can supervise as much as you want, but all it takes is one kid like jumping off of something, boom, get hit right in the head. Like, had it happen to me, I was like, "Ooh, the jump room, yay, bam!" Okay, I'm just gonna sit here now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they turn upside down. This is a great song. I get a kick out of this song too. Like, it's
Me
yeah.
too.
Meryl Streep is no slouch when it comes to singing either. She's proved herself as a pretty capable singer.
She's
She
awesome.
did "Lost in the Woods" and then, of course, "Mamma Mia."
Fuck yeah, she did Mamma Mia. Such a good musical. She's awesome. I love her so much. This song was good. I liked it. And I liked the message of this song that sometimes you just need a little perspective. And a change in perspective can change everything.
Yeah, look at
And
things
I have,
differently.
you have to look at things differently. Life is all about, like, there's that philosophical question, half empty, half full, of the glass. And that's really, sorry, my cat's distracting me. Get down. That's really what it's all about,
Right. Yep. So they go their way, they drop off the bowl, they head back home, they stop by the bank. And this is where the kids totally hear what's going on with that evil banker.
Yeah.
And Georgie's like, "I'm gonna expose you, you son of a bitch." Again, we get this moment where Mary Poppins is aware that they are leaving. Like, you know, she's in on it. Like, she's making the conscious choice. It's like, okay, I know where they're at. All right, I'm gonna let this play out. Like,
yeah.
So here's the question: is Mary Poppins a good nanny?
She keeps the children mostly safe. And she.
So she does put them in dangerous situations.
Yeah, but she keeps them mostly safe.
But I feel like ultimately, like, we go off this logic of Mary Poppins knows that
Right.
everything
She
turns
has
out
like a
okay.
sixth sense or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she is a good nanny in the way that she like takes care of the children in the way they need to be taken care of. Like, these kids needed to learn how to use their imaginations again
Right.
and how to be children.
Right.
And in that way, I think she is a good nanny because she taught them that, and she also gave their dad a push in the right direction of what he needed as well.
Yeah. Yep. And speaking of which, the dad shows up, like, and the banker, you know,
Yeah, because he works here too.
yeah. And the kid, like, it sucks to be a kid because parents will automatically, like, just brush off
Blame you.
anything you say. So Colin Firth doesn't have to do much work to convince the dad. It's like, no, your kids, like, came in when I was totally trying to work out your situation. Like, they're kind of fucking it up for you, banks. Like, is that what you want, banks? It's like, it won't happen again. He's like, see that it doesn't. I will be in my office until midnight on Friday. Might you have my word? It's like, okay. And he gives the kids a stern talking to, as well as Mary Poppins, but, you know, a little
Right.
lesser so to Mary Poppins because he knows better.
Yeah.
Tell, you know,
The
and he
Mary
breaks
Poppins and the
down too.
kid.
I like this real moment of him breaking down, like, and being able to say, it's like, I don't know what to do and everything.
This part broke me. It broke my heart so much.
That's gotta be really scary for a kid, though. I think that as a kid, like, that's the last thing you want to hear a parent say, though.
Is that they don't know what to do and they need help.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the kids they sing the Lost Things song to him, and
Yeah.
it's lovely. It's like such a beautiful little moment.
How dare you kids be more grown up than me? And then, yeah, you do. It's like, oh, she'll live on in your smile, in your. I don't know why that one
Yeah.
kid got the. And in your walk. It's like, my walk? My
Yeah,
fucking
bitch,
walk?
please.
My walk? She gets eyes, he gets smile. I get
Yeah.
walk? I walk like my mom? I mean, no offense, my mom had a pretty badass walk, but really? No. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, same. I'd be like, really? That's it, huh?
It's like re like I would take, like, do I have her hands? Like she had pretty cool hands. Like, anyway. So there's that moment, and he has the realization with Mary Poppins, where it's like, wow, they were helping me the whole time. I didn't even realize it. And she's like, yeah, family trait. And some people think a little too much for that. I am, or that I am most certain, you know, or whatever she says. Typical Mary Poppins. All right, moving on. What happens
Yeah.
next?
The next scene that we get is them moving out.
That's right, it's because they don't think they're gonna
It's so
find it in
sad.
time. But wouldn't you know it? Like, who called it? I mean, did you call this from the get-go? It's on the kite, folks. Come on.
Come on.
Because the kid Georgie had to mend the kite once again, and to do that, he had to cut up this piece of paper. And wouldn't you know it, that piece of paper happened to be the, well, it's not a deed, but it's, you know, whatever. That same thing.
It's like a receipt of, yeah, a proof of him having shareholds in the
There we
bank.
go. Yeah. So they find it. It's like, oh boy, we gotta get it to the bank in time. Oh, wouldn't you? Well, it's really close to midnight. What are we gonna do? It's like, well. Oh, we kind of skipped over. There's the Trip the Little Light Fantastic song with Jack, which is nice.
That was fun, yeah.
When the kids get lost, yeah, and they They have a nice, yeah, this is one of the most impressive dance sequences, like real dance sequences. Like,
yeah, for sure.
That was actually staged and shit. Once the bikes come in, though, like I, like on the other Disney podcast, they're like, oh, I love when the bikes come in. It's like, that's when it gets a little ridiculous for me. Like, it's like we're using bikes for choreography. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. I did like the lamppost dancing, though. That was fun.
Yeah, liked also, that. I liked the Leary speak.
Yeah, me too. I love that. So Goofy's Bounce House closed in 2006. I thought it would have closed a lot earlier than that, but
for sure, that's a little, yeah, it's pushing it, guys. Like, wow, they really rode that thing till the, because I feel like ball pits went away before that.
Yeah.
Like, so, and I know that's not the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing.
And now it's a toddler playground.
Yeah.
So, but I definitely remember that, so that's fun.
Thank God. Like, yeah, we had all those kind of sort of dangerous things that you really probably shouldn't have been doing.
But they were fun. I remember liking that. It was fun, but it was scary. You were nervous when you went in there.
Yeah.
Which is how Josh feels anytime he gets on the Goofy roller coaster at Disneyland. Like, he's terrified for his life when he rides it, but.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. Fun. He's too tall.
He's tall, yeah. It's quite scary for him. I find it to be great.
Why doesn't he just like not go on it? Like, he wants
well,
to go.
Well,
because
then, like, yeah, I would have to go by myself. It's rude.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they're rushing to get there on time, and Mary Poppins is rushing to stop time altogether. So they go up to Big Ben. This is a great scene. Anytime you can get Big Ben in scene.
Hell yeah, it's so fun. Anytime there's like a clock tower.
Yeah.
But especially Big Ben.
I love this whole climbing up the clock tower scene, even though there's no fucking way in hell like you could arrange ladders like this, but that's okay. This is, we're rolling with it. I love it. All it takes is him putting it on top of the other one and just gives it a little tap against the wall. Okay, there we go. It's good.
It's good. It's in.
It's in there.
I know. And her little comments that she's making from the ground, watching them all climb up, like, she's like, God. They've it's acted like they've never done this before.
Fuck yeah.
And
I'm like, that's, yeah.
Bitch, we know you can fly up there. Just fly up there.
And she does. Like, that's the thing. And it's like, does. Oh, okay. Let me. Oh, I forgot. I can totally fucking fly. That's right.
I have to do it myself.
And she stops the clock, rolls it back. They light it back up. And now, like, yeah, they totally altered time. Okay, cool. Like,
yeah.
And it's literally just because Mary Poppins says so. Like, how great is that?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Mary Poppins, feminist icon? Because ultimately, I feel like the message is, like, Mary Poppins, it's like, how is she able to do these impossible things? Well, because I'm Mary Poppins. Like, and anybody, any woman should have the ability to say this. Like, well, why can you do those things? And I can't. Oh, well, because I'm
me.
I'm Casey Schwartz. Yeah, I'm Mary Poppins. I'm bitch. Like.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. Feminist icon.
Yeah. Let's see. So they turn back time. They go to the bank.
Jane and Michael get there. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael and Jane. And they storm in, and the bankers are actually holding the doors closed.
See, again, like, you can't go to these lengths. Like, that's just straight up not, like, come on, what the hell are we doing here? That's not fair.
It's so messed up.
It's like, go, stop them. It's like, wait, but that's, like, immoral.
And finally, like, the good banker.
Ah, yes.
He finally has had enough, and he lets them in because he doesn't feel right about this. He knows that the children's mother died this year.
What
and
the fuck?
He can see that they've been having trouble, you know?
Right.
And he's been trying to advocate for them this whole time.
Right.
Ultimately. And being shot down every single time. So... Yeah. Yeah, he lets them in, and they run upstairs.
The kite blows in, which has the paper on it, and they arrange all the pieces, but they are missing the most important part, which is the signatures. Banker's like, sorry, without those signatures, you're screwed, bro. And but who comes in to save the day? Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, he's head banker, apparently.
So he's doing what he did in the original, which it took me forever to realize this. He plays the old man banker. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. He plays the old man banker at the end, like, so all that old man performance is just really impressive. Like, yeah. So
That's
he's doing that
great.
again here, but he's a little closer to the age of the guy this time around.
Yes.
So now what was really impressive here is that got people nervous. So he totally fires Colin Firth and all this.
Hell yeah, that's like his nephew.
And I love that he was just waiting behind that. He was in another room the whole fucking time. Like, this is kind of annoying, where it's just like, oh yeah,
Just come out and
I've
fix
just been
this mess
waiting for the
earlier.
moment. Like, if this were a wedding situation, I'd be waiting for that priest to say, like, speak now or forever hold your peace.
That's so ridiculous.
That's me for you.
So ridiculous.
They truly try to do this ham-fisted, like, a wooden leg named Smith bit, which is from the original movie and stuff. It's like
Yes.
a little too obvious. That was the one moment where I kind of rolled my eyes. But Dick Van Dyke does some Dick Van Dyke dancing. Like, it's
He
nothing.
does.
It's like nothing major, but for a person of his age, pretty damn great.
I was excited to see it for
Like,
sure.
he jumped up on that table too. Like, he had a lot of people nervous on that day, like jumping up on that table, which,
I'm sure.
yeah, I believe it. But I love that he did it though.
Me too. That makes me so
Yeah.
happy. So they get their house back,
Yup.
which is very
And a lot
exciting.
of money, because of those two little top. I love the callback to the original, where it's like the two little toppins that Michael invested in the bank ended up like kind of saving him. So it's really great.
It
Yeah.
is great. So yeah, they get their house. We see beautiful cherry blossoms.
Yeah,
The
really great.
family
Love cherry
is
blossoms.
walking together. I love them too. So beautiful. Families walking together. They go to that park where they weren't allowed to go in the grass, and there's a whole fair going on, and this fair is so pretty. Like the pink tents and the pink rides, and it just looked very like.
This is a side of London you don't get to see, but it does happen. Like you, fr I fr you know, springtime. You know, yeah.
It was just absolutely lovely, and I just found myself wishing that I could go to that fair. It looked so cool.
Mary Poppins has since parted way or is parting ways. Like, it's getting there anyway. Like,
She's pulling
they know it's
back, yeah.
coming. Like, yeah. This was a lot. Sort of a smoother transition than the first movie. First movie, it's pretty sad and everything like that.
Yes.
This one, it's still sad, but a little more cathartic in some ways. Okay, but right, so they're at the fair, they're checking out this balloon lady, and
None other than Miss Angela Lansbury.
this is badass. This got me crying the first time. Yo, this is good
Oh yeah, it's
shit.
so good. She has such a magical voice.
Hell yeah. Well, and she's one of the voices of Disney, so I mean Mrs. Potts.
Mrs. Potts, yeah. She's just so beautiful and lovely, and I love that her part was so fun. She was the balloon lady. She has all these balloons, and for everyone that a person buys, she tells them, pick the right one, because many people pick the wrong one. And then we get the most bizarre scene of the whole movie, which is everybody flying up into the sky with balloons.
Physics are off the charts here, where it's like everybody, your arms would be fully extended, you're being dragged by the balloon, but everybody's acting like, no, woohoo, like I'm
Yes,
full of helium
it is.
too. Like, it's
It
like,
was such a bizarre moment. And also,
it's
like,
fun though.
in real life, you'd be screaming your head off, like, how am I going to get back down? But they have it all figured out. It's fine.
This is definitely
This
the
balloon
most
lady.
weird and like kind of it's like cheesy to me like moments.
Totally.
Like, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, she does her bit and she sounds amazing. Oh my God, she's got such a great voice.
I loved like when she got Michael to take the balloon. He's just like, she says you've forgotten, and he was like, don't, how to hold a balloon, and she said, no, what it's like to be a child.
Right.
That's so
And
true.
he's got
Like,
his
just
solo
remember
moment.
sometimes.
It's really great,
Yeah, it was very great. I love that so much.
And
And up he
everybody's
goes.
flying. Colin Firth doesn't get a good one though. Nope.
No,
Because he's a
his
butthead. He doesn't believe.
deflates actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mary Poppins realizes the wind is changing and the door is opening. She's gonna have to go. She gets her own balloon, and you get this awesome moment between her and Angela Lansbury, which is great, but it also totally tells you know this was intended for somebody else. You know this was a cameo intended for Julie Andrews, and she declined to do it, and I respect her decision. Damn
Me
it,
too.
though. As a fan, though, it's like, man, we were robbed of a great moment.
It would have been so kismet. Like, it would have been so beautiful.
Yeah. But she refused, and her reasons are valid. Like, you can look into it, look it up, or whatever, and it's totally valid and everything like that. We can all be as upset as we want, but ultimately, I feel like it's up to, we should go off of what the original goddamn Mary Poppins wants, so.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah. And Angela Lansbury, it's just as good, pretty much, because I mean, it's Mrs. Potts, she's a Disney legend too, like, it's pretty great.
It was beautiful, yeah.
It does suck that we didn't get that, but whatever.
She like looks at her and she says, all the adults will forget this tomorrow.
They
And she
always
says, no
do.
doubt about that.
Yeah. But actually, seems like Jane and Michael are gonna remember this one. Yeah.
I definitely feel like Jane will. She through the whole thing has felt like a little bit more in tune with her childhood than Michael. He's
She's
like
still
so, but
inclined to
he's had a
giggle.
year of grief and
Yeah.
work and stress,
And her and
where
Jack
she
are
could be like,
totally gonna date, which is great.
yeah, they're gonna get married and have their own little babies for Mary
Yeah.
Poppins to come see.
Yep, that's the third one.
Oh my God. But yeah, that's pretty much the movie. They get home and Mary Poppins kind of
Goes her
stands
merry
back
way.
and
There really is no closure with her and these kids. Like, they don't do the goodbye thing. Like, Jane and Michael had a goodbye thing, like, and everything. But.
yeah, I kind of like this more though. Like, I like that she's like watching them be with their dad and their, aunt and be happy, and she can see them like being children again. And I like that she kind of just disappears back.
Yeah.
Because, it's kind of a fun thing of like, they'll
Yes.
all kind of be like, did this happen?
Right, right, right. I think that's the point, yeah.
Yeah, I like that so much.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff, Maynard.
Yeah. Damn, yeah, no Julie Andrews.
No, Julie Andrews. Sad day.
So overall, like, this movie, it has an interesting connection to me, because it definitely it strikes the same tone as the original too. Like, and I feel like, because it had me choking up for no reason, like, multiple times, just because it's like, wow, this really is like the original. Like, this totally gives me the feels and shit. And definitely, particularly at the end, like, that's really good stuff. So would you watch this again, or did you enjoy your viewing of Mary Poppins too?
I did. I enjoyed it a lot. There were a couple parts that I thought were a little bit slower.
Definitely.
I don't think the music is as good, but I thought that a couple of the songs were good.
Yeah, I don't think they will have as much as the lasting power, but I think some of them will come into more prominence, I guess.
For sure.
But
I did choke
ultimately,
up
not as
when the
good.
dad. Yeah, I did choke up when the dad had his little breakdown and the kids sang to him. Like, that made me cry a little bit. It was very sweet. I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah,
I would like to
good.
try to watch it with like some of my nieces and nephews and see if how they react to it. Their reactions would be fun.
All right, so let's rate it.
Let's do it.
Out of 10 candy floss things,
Okay.
10 things of candy floss, which is another way of saying cotton candy, but I love the way they say it. Candy floss makes sense.
Candy floss.
I have 10 candy flosses. How many candy flosses do you give Mary Poppins Returns?
Yeah, I've got mine.
Yeah, I got mine. All right. 1, 2, 3, 6.
Seven.
Yeah, that's about right. 6, 7.
Feels right.
Yeah.
I almost went six as well, but I popped it up because it did make me cry.
Yeah.
Anything that can make me cry, I have some kind of connection to, so.
Visually, it's pretty damn amazing and impressive, of course.
Like, beautiful.
Like, this animation, like, this is the animation that looks closer to Disney, like, even more so than Enchanted did, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, and by the way, they keep posting about how Disenchanted is filming and shit, and I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I'm here for it. I love my girl Amy Adams.
There's three.
I love Patrick Dempsey.
There's three female antagonists that have been cast that I saw, so we'll see. Yeah. We will see. All right, recommendation. You got anything?
I do. I don't know if I've ever recommended this before, but I'm on the last season now, so I need to recommend it now. Josh and I have watched this show for years. It's called The Magicians. Huh. It is, I actually read the book, and then they came out with a TV show, I think on the Sci-Fi Network, possibly. Anyways, it's such a good series. They have, like, a really great variety of cast members from different ethnic backgrounds, and there's, like, a female king in this show that's really great. Nice. There's, like, a really awesome bisexual character, a gay character. Like, they have, like, a lot of different representation, and the whole point of the show is magic, which I love in general as well. They go to this place in the show called Fillory, which is, like, a magical fairy tale-like kingdom where the animals talk and shit gets real. There's, like, a lot of alcohol and drugs in this show, so don't show it to children. it's so good, though. There's six seasons. They just finished the last season, and Josh and I finally are watching it. It's on Netflix. It's so great. I highly recommend it. It's, like, fantastical, and there's adventure, and in the heart of it, there's just, like, friendship that feels like family. It's really good. I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And for my recommendation, I'm going to recommend that you get vaccinated. That's my recommendation. Woo-hoo! All right? That's the tone I want to strike. Like, you know, it's just a recommendation. Like, it's not, nobody's forcing you to do it or anything like that.
Not a requirement.
Do whatever research you want, but make sure you look at it from all sides and don't jump to conclusions. Yes. You know, like, ultimately, we've had vaccines forever, so chill out and just do it. Because do you miss, like, being able to go to movie theaters as much as I do and stuff like that? Do you miss being able to go to restaurants and stuff like that? Well, there's a way to get closer to that.
Hugging your family and your friends.
Oh,
like,
yeah, there's that.
or traveling. I was really fortunate. Yes. Oh, my God, yes. I was fortunate enough to be able to get both of my vaccines. I had very little side effects from either one. Yeah. I felt really great. And I just feel 100% better knowing that I did my part. And also, like, I can, you know, see other people who have been vaccinated and know that we're pretty safe, you know?
Yeah.
Josh was lucky enough also to get both of his vaccines, and the same for him. He, like, had very little side effects with the second one. So just do it, people. Don't be scared. It's fine.
Yeah, and side effects happen with all vaccines. Like, you have a risk of side effects when you get your regular flu vaccine, so.
Absolutely. I don't want that stopping anyone, and so I've been making sure to tell people, like, you know, I didn't really have any side effects. I was just tired.
Yeah, right.
Josh, like, he had a little bit of dizziness after his second one, but it went away. And you know what? Like, we're both safer from COVID now.
Right. I got to go in on Monday to get my second one.
Yay! That's great. Monday?
Yeah.
Good. That's awesome. No, for sure, people. That's a great recommendation. Go get vaccinated. Yeah, and if you're vaccinated in Portland, you might see me because I've been volunteering at the vaccination clinic.
Sick. That's good. Yeah. No, we're almost, you know, like, and yeah, CDC just announced, like, if you've been fully vaccinated, like, you can do the whole no masking up, like, when outdoors if you're not in a big crowd thing. So
Yes, it's so nice.
I like that they're highlighting the benefits of getting vaccinated, like not the horrors of like, oh, the possible like da da da, like, you know, live in a very conspiracy theory time right now.
And don't get me wrong, I love me a good conspiracy theory, but
oh, it's fun. But
it's so fun, but not when it's like literally going to impact the future of our world. Like, come on, people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's my recommendation. And another recommendation, like, you know, I think it's okay to, like, maybe stop giving money to the Fast and Furious franchise. So stop doing that. And that's coming from somebody who, I'm working my way through them right now because I, FOMO, you know, fear of missing out.
Okay, cool.
And ultimately, like, I want to be able to have an actual opinion on them, and like, boy, do I, like, so it's been an interesting development.
Jacob, they're about family.
No, they really aren't. They really fucking aren't. And like, I think it's interesting how family has perforated the narrative. Like, it's like, I haven't even got, like, okay, I hit Fast Five. So now family really is like being pushed a little more, like. I'm hoping, like, in 6, 7, and 8, like, it's even more so. Okay, oh, so first movie, boring. Second movie, better, but missing Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I skipped Tokyo Drift because I don't want to.
I get it.
And I hear that that's one that, you know, you don't need to.
Everybody hated it, but I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary.
The fourth one was called Fast and Furious. And by the way, these name titles are all the fuck, all fucking all over the place. Like, what That's is true. Happening? Okay. All right. Yeah. Too Fast, Too Furious is fun. Like, that was fun. Like, cool. But then Fast and Furious. Okay. Now that one was great just because Vin Diesel was back. I really liked that energy. It was like, yeah, I'm back. And like, you know, like, I'm reasserting myself. And like, it really, like, Vin Diesel was, flexing his muscle. I'm like, that was cool.
Yes.
Fast Five. Okay, now it's reached the point that I'm a little more, like, hip to, like, what I feel like the franchise is now. Like, Fast Five was where it became what it is now, I think.
Is The Rock in it yet?
They're super, yeah, The Rock. Like, that's the one where The Rock comes in. Like, so, yeah, okay, I get it now. Like, yep, they're all superheroes. Like, Dom can do no wrong. Dom does no wrong, ever. Like, and you know what? That's fine, because these movies are on par with, like, these are our Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone movies now. Like,
they are.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I always watch them in the theater, and I think it is fun. I, like, grip my seat, like, when they're doing the crazy car stunts, even there though I know cool, that they're going to be fine.
Well, like, they do a lot of those for real, though. Like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's impressive.
Yeah. Parts of it are pretty impressive and stuff. And Vin Diesel really looks like he knows how to drive that fucking car. Like, he is convincing me. I'm sorry, like, rest in peace and everything like that. Paul Walker, aww, not a good actor, yo. Sorry. Like, mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, and you can be, like, it can be sad that he's gone and everything, but it's still the truth. He's not a good actor. I'm watching it for Vin Diesel, for sure.
Yeah, Vin Diesel is definitely the star of the franchise, for sure.
And he makes people know that.
He does.
Man, that tension between him and The Rock is great. Like, because it is real.
Oh, my God. It's so good, right?
Because it is real. And that makes it even more, like, knowing that it's real makes it even more like, it's like, oh God. Like, are they going to throw down? Like, I really appreciated that.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they did fight in real life?
I mean, Rock would kill him.
Like, kick his ass. Rock would kill him. There's no doubt.
Like, there's zero doubt.
He used to be a professional wrestler. For real. So.
And Vin, like, you, yeah, no, Vin, no.
And, like, The Rock has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, when is he going to stop?
When he's a Rock. I've told you. He is, it's his mission. He wants to be a Rock. It's in his name. He wants to be a Rock. And he's getting there.
He's getting there.
Pretty soon, yeah, he's gonna be going to court, being like, it's like, okay, can we just make this official? Like, I'm not a person anymore.
Oh my god.
And then the next case would be Vin Diesel. I am Groot. No,
yeah.
So no, I do like, and it's just, yeah. So they are fun from that side. I'm watching it now as a fascination of like, because these are international, like, success. This is a billion-dollar franchise. Are you kidding me? How is this possible?
You know,
they didn't start out that way either. Like, it's crazy.
You're not wrong. We don't have, like, a lot of action movies right now, first of all. Especially ones that are not, like...
Well, the Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger movies don't work anymore. So what these movies have is, like, they've got that car ingredient, the international appeal ingredient, whereas, like, Expendables isn't trying to be that. Expendables is just Sylvester Stallone wanting to hang with his friends, like, and look badass.
Right.
They're not going for international appeal.
Yeah, we need more, like, action movies that appeal to, like, a broader group. And this is really, like, some of the only ones that we have right now that aren't, like, spy movies, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And these are also pretty non, like, these aren't, like, disgusting. Like, they don't have, like, a lot of blood and gore in them, usually.
Pretty misogynistic, but
definitely misogynistic, 100%.
But, you know, like, yeah, but
oh, my God, especially the early ones with the girls in the bikinis, like, oh, my God. Dude, oh my god.
Yeah. Well, I mean, frankly, the fourth movie had a pretty solid moment of like, yeah, he kills a guy with a car and the line and follows it up with pussy. Like like wow.
Yeah, I can't imagine actually going back through them now.
Yeah.
In the state that we are in as a culture now, I definitely watched those ones when they came out and thought they were great. But yeah, now I would probably be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But they have grown and changed as well with our culture. Like the newer ones, you'll see some of the chicks are like badass, like front and center.
According to the trailer, like in number 9, like, well, they're gearing up to have the women have their own movie for one. Like they're going to.
Okay.
So like how they did Hobbs and Shaw, they're going to have the ladies go off and do their own mission. Which I'm here for. Great. Yeah, I heard. Yeah. I don't think I'll watch that one. Because, again, like, frankly, to me, like, I appreciate Hobbs and Shaw existing and being like, it's like, you know, fuck Vin Diesel. Let's do our own thing. Like, I like that and everything. But I'm watching these for Vin Diesel. So.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name that plays whichever one isn't The Rock, but I like him in real life, too.
The Transporter.
Yeah, that guy.
Jason Statham.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, he's great.
And Frank, I just don't really like Hobbs. I don't want to see a movie about Hobbs. Like, he's kind of an asshole. But, you know, in that necessary way where he's the cop, like, he's got to be, he's supposed to be Dom's, like, foil. Like,
yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I really liked that fight. That was pretty epic. That was pretty good
it's
shit.
It's epic, yeah.
It's pretty good shit.
Ryan Reynolds makes a cameo in that movie, in the Hobbs and Shaw movie, by the way.
Right.
Which I think is fun.
Yeah, that's fun. Sorry. Okay, yeah, sorry, guys. Thanks for joining us for this talk about family and Fast and the Furious franchise.
Family.
But yeah, so stay tuned for my thoughts on the remaining movies. I'm not going to see 9 in theaters, I don't think, or anything like that, though. But
I don't know when it's coming out, but if it's out soon. After...
exclusively okay, to theaters not. Too like not gonna stream first so.
Boo.
But yeah, nope, my first theater movie is gonna be Suicide Squad, which I'm looking forward
yes,
to.
Yes, yes.
All right, folks, thanks for joining. Oh yeah, so we have a bonus episode for you. It's the final episode of the series altogether, and then we are shifting things over to what our series will be called, which is The Movie Connection. Where we will be meeting every week to connect over, you guessed it, movies. So I like the idea of us each swapping a movie and like that's us connecting. It's like here, watch this movie and we'll connect over like something about it, or maybe we won't. Who knows? Like,
yeah,
it'll be fun. So be sure to check that out. Like, it's going to be in the same area. Like, it's just a different name. If that makes sense. Like, it's the same, like, URL or whatever.
It'll be the same channel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, be sure to check that out. So no vote this week, but you can always send us an email with, to say goodbye, I guess, at this point. But sure, send us questions, comments, or recommendations for future episodes. And that's at DisneyChannelSurfers@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram.
At Disney Channel Surfers.
And eventually the Movie Connection. And then, or individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
And you can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Yep. I think that checks off all the boxes. So tune in next week for the bonus episode. I think I'm going to hold off. We're not going to tell you what the episode is. Yeah. Just,
I love that.
Yeah. Just check it out. It's a good one. I will tell you that it is not a Disney movie, but it is a movie that you probably thought was a Disney movie.
Hell yeah.
So that kind of narrows it down. And it's kind of fitting because it is kind of about transformation, and we're kind of transforming into a different series, so, you know, kind of relevant in that way. All right, well, thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.
Bye!